Here we go.
Yeah, we're off, Judith. We're off. You're probably grooving along to this because you're a sort of festival goer now, aren't you? Whenever you hear music, you sort of start, you stand up and you start jigging around. You got your hands
in the
air.
I used to, Jenny.
You're waving some glow sticks.
It's not going to happen again, but we need to get on to that.
I need to start with that, actually. I need to start because I had no idea. It was like a sneaky thing that you did. All of a sudden, there was a photograph on our Instagram account, our shared Instagram account, of you in a tent. And I thought, God, not again. Does she never learn? And it was just a tent tent. I mean, at least when we did last year, you had the good sense and fortune to hire a camper van.
Indeed. And I did it.
What's it, you know, the potty. What was the potty called?
The port-a-loo. The port-a-loo.
Port-a-potty.
No,
the port-a-potty.
Port-a-potty. No port-a-potty.
In its own
no
tent.
Kettle. Yes. No proper, you know, HQ. No, none of those mod cons, Jenny.
So tell me about this camping trip. I don't even know who you went with.
Ah.
Where you went. And why? Well, importantly.
Yes, a lot of people said that on the notice board. I've just got one word, Judith. Why?
Why?
Well, the reason is because it's like everything at the moment. It's postponed. It's one of those things. 2 years ago, I said to my friend Jane in Hexham, who's, you know, likes a bit of kind of dancing and music. And we had this chat and we said, look, you know, married to somebody a little older. Actually, I really like 1980s music, okay? And then Well, I do really, yeah.
I don't know what you'd count. What do you count as 80s music? I don't really know.
Well, I like Grace Jones. And,
oh, yes, I like Grace Jones.
And Jimmy Somerville, all of those, in jewellery probably.
Yep, okay, right.
All right.
Because I've ticked that, you're allowed that.
Ticked that, okay. Because the 1980s was not sort of when, you know, it wasn't when I was growing up, but it was when I had money, I was successful, I was, you know, it was beautiful.
Were still up round your neck.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, prime pulling kind of years. Yeah, anyway, so I said to her, I've just thought, I said, there's a lady in the village that goes to a thing called Rewind every year, and it's all 1980s music, and it's only in Henley-on-Thames, so what we could do is, yeah, if it's awful, we could come back. She says, well, I've got this great tent, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Had the great tent? Your friend Jane had the great
My
tent.
My friend Jane had the great tent.
Well, I saw it, Judith. Didn't that look that
great? Of course
great.
She did.
How many bedrooms was that tent?
Two bedrooms, one each. So in theory, it's all sounding not too bad, is it?
Okay, well, so it's a separate farting chamber, basically. Because that's what tent bedrooms are. They're separate farting chambers. Yeah, okay, yeah. So you've got your own farting chamber.
Yes, and weeing chamber, indeed.
Yeah. Weeing chamber? Well, hold on.
Yeah, but bucket.
Have you got your own...
Buckets. Of course, we're in buckets without a lid on, but I need to tell you more about that.
Okay, now before you went to the festival, did you go on your low fibre constipation diet? The pre-festival, you know.
Of course I didn't. Nothing as sensible as that. I did nothing sensible, Jenny. So basically, it was been in the diary, you know, it was cancelled last year. Yeah. And then kind of Latitude came along, didn't it? So basically, I ended up with two festivals about 3 weeks apart. That's what happened to me this year.
Yeah.
And like everything.
You kept quiet to me because you knew that I would roll my
tell
eyes.
Me off.
And well, no, I wouldn't tell you off. I'd just remind you of you puking up in the washing bowl incident and the trauma over the lavatories. And let's face it, Judith. I mean, when we went to Latitude, we were spoilt. Yeah. We were spoilt because we went with our performers' passes.
Oh, yeah, I know. Waving those at people saying, ooh, I'm a performer.
I think we're coming through
there.
Coming through now. We're coming through to that field, you know, where there are slightly better lavatories and smaller queues. Yeah. That's where we are.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. I was right down. I was with the, you know, I was with the mob, okay? So now listen, right. So you're thinking, or I was thinking, Henley-on-Thames, rather
posh,
nice.
Posh, yes.
Wild swimming. I was thinking wild swimming. I packed my dry robe. You know, Jane came down all the way from Hexham. You know, nice sort of fun kind of preparatory things, what we might pack, all that. Excuse me.
Was there giggling in the dorm the night before? Giggling in the dorm?
Giggling in the dorm. Effectively. We were very excited.
Yes.
Although
yes.
I was still rather embarrassed to tell you. Anyway. So, that's because I knew you exactly would roll your eyes. Anyway. So then what happened, this is a classic of me, is it's getting closer, you know, it's rolling towards me on a kind of, you know, generation game type conveyor belt. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, fuck.
Becoming inevitable. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Rewind's actually going to happen, right? Yeah. Oh, you never know. I might have COVID. I could get out of it. No, I haven't got COVID. Yeah. Anyway, so it came along and I started to read properly the emails that had been coming through for the last couple of months, okay?
Yeah.
So I read, first big blow, Jenny.
Okay.
I read the email that said, even though we'd paid, I think about £150 extra each to go, should I name them?
Extra,
yeah. I think maybe anyway, it was £300 to camp in the Pink Moon camping sort of bit, you know, which we thought, right, okay. Dedicated area to put your tent, posh loos, blah, blah, blah. A little kind of tea and coffee place, blah, blah, blah. Worth it. All right, so we've done that. So then I read that email, and you know what it said? First big blow, it said, get this.
The Pink Moon campsite has been cancelled this year.
No. Wait.
Go on.
the big blow was that you couldn't park the car next to your tent.
We see, that's I mean about how spoilt we were at Latitude. Yes. Because you just drove in the camper van because it was a sort of mobile home.
Yes.
And then we got a special pass when I came with Ellen in the car to park up next to it.
I know. So,
you telling me you had to lug from a car park to the campsite? Tell me how far. How far was it? And what did you take, a wheelbarrow? Okay. You know, we've talked about wheelbarrows before. I suggested you had an indoor wheelbarrow to cart all your crap around. But I saw it, didn't I? There was a photograph, another photograph on the...
Yeah, the borrowed trolley. Because then I thought, Mike said to me, well, okay, that's annoying, isn't it? But you don't let you drop off your stuff. I mean, they can't expect you to lug all your stuff to the tent. You're obviously dropping it off. So you couldn't drop it
off.
They expect
it to be harder, you see, when you're camping.
Well,
sort of all bets are off. They just expect you to be one of those people that doesn't mind any old shit.
Any old shit. That's it. Yeah. That's about the size of it. So, and I thought, well, at least they'll have trolleys that you can, you know, you just throw a tenner at, you know, you don't care at that stage. You know, I just want a trolley.
Buggies. Do you remember the Latitude buggies, Judith?
Oh, I know. You got very good at flagging them down. Oh,
I started limping very badly. I developed.
Look here, young man. Look here.
Look at me. I can barely walk.
No buggies, no trolleys to hire. So basically, the distance. Okay, your house. It's flat and it's on grass. Okay, so imagine going not to Sainsbury's, but beyond down to what you know, the M&S that you go to.
Yes, at the bottom of the hill, sort of near East Dulwich train station. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more than that.
Okay, that's not quite a mile.
Well, it is when you go there and Mac.
Oh yes,
and
okay,
three times over grass.
Oh, you know, if it wasn't such an appalling story, if it was slightly less
Jenny.
Appalling, and was just dull, I'd be employing Snorlaw now because the idea of pushing a trolley
Jenny.
Over grass.
Yeah.
And did they put down some of that webbed mat and stuff to make it easier?
No, of course they didn't. So people who were very clever, who'd obviously done Rewind before, first of all had their own trolleys, and secondly. Had bungee, not bungee jumps, what do you call them? Those bungees.
To sort of strap your luggage onto
because you had to build piles. You had to build really sensible, well-constructed piles on your trolleys because you'd go over the bumps and it'd all keep falling down.
This is awful already. I mean, the only thing is that I did not see in that photograph, I didn't see mud. It looked dry.
There wasn't mud. That's true. There wasn't mud. But it was quite hot, you know, so I basically had to borrow. I begged somebody to lend me their trolley because they were already sitting down, you know, gloating, watching all the poor people doing their things. I had to leave my phone with this bloke for about 2 hours while we you know, backwards and forwards.
What do you mean the phone was sort of like the collateral?
Yes, it was, because he was quite reluctant to lend it. I just thought, well, I've, you know, we're, this is not possible. We're going to have to anyway. So there was
process. Do you know who I am? I'm Judith Holder of Older and Wider. I'm a very respectable woman. I'm not going to run off with your trolley. What are you going to do with it?
Exactly. I know. Anyway, so it was worth it anyway. I'd have bunged him. I offered him some money. I would have bunged him a lot of money. Jane got there first and I was going backwards and forwards. But do you know these people... lovely people down our little corridor of tents,
yeah.
Two ex-military blokes said to her, apparently, because I was still up and down doing the run, would you like some help? Well, yes, please. Yeah. Put it up. They put it up for her. Put the tent up. So that was very nice. People were really helpful, actually. Really, yeah. Really helpful. Got the tent up. So that was the first blow. The second blow, okay, was... Well, just kind of, they were very different people to Jane and I. So let me give you an idea. Basically, I think what happens is that people go again and again, year after year. So they kind of meet up.
Was it like a caravan park where everyone's chummy with each other?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they've been going for years and years.
But exactly that. And I think that probably a lot of them had kind of met, you know, like sort of 5 or 6 years ago when they all meet together at Rewind every year. Oh, we're having a great time. They're all dressed, you know, like, you know, there'd be a kind of a group of 6 Freddie Mercurys. And then there'd be a group of...
Did you not have your fancy dress costumes?
Oh, we were hopeless. Oh, it was... we were sea salt. We, you know, the two of us, we still always stood out like a sore thumb. We really did. So much so that two people...
A bit Bowden catalogue, a bit slightly...
Oh, yeah, we were Bowden
slash
sea salt.
I've got it.
Do you know what I mean? So we're completely different. And in fact, so much so that somebody said to Jane, oh, you look a bit posh.
Really?
And then we went to Henley for a coffee. That was very nice, actually. Walked into Henley.
Did you escape? You went over the wire?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we had to, yeah. Couldn't get over there. Nowhere to get into the water to swim. It was all boating, you know, so we couldn't swim for three days. Anyway, went into Henley and this woman said to us, oh, of course, all the Rewind people are here, aren't they? Obviously assumed that we weren't because we were sea salt and Bowden.
Yeah, Bowden.
Anyway. So there's kind of groups of 6 Freddie Mercurys, and then there'd be a, you know, a great sort of
was
gaggle.
Was everyone having fun? Was there a lot of sort of fun, mass fun?
Oh, Jenny.
I'd have had to stay in my own party chamber.
Absolutely.
I'd have been in the sleeping bag. Right down the bottom. Right down the bottom of the sleeping bag.
Because
I'm
really sorry. They'd all that, you know, they'd theme their tents and, you know, they'd have kind of, you know, inflatable flamingos all around them, and they'd all have kind of Mr. Motivator. Yeah.
People
sort of
who take fun seriously.
Really seriously. You're getting the picture.
I just haven't got time. I'm too busy to take fun seriously. Anyway, were you catching it? Were you catching some of the atmosphere? Did you sort of... I mean, what was the food like? Because I think...
The food was okay, except the bar didn't sell any soft drinks, you know, other than lemonade and full fat Coke. And that's
because you meant to mix those with vodka.
And they sneaked it all in. Oh, Jenny. So the drink. Okay, the drink's another story, right? So on the little ferry, you have to pay for the sort of boat taxi to take you into Henley.
Yeah.
coming back on the day when the sort of big stadium opened, okay? So basically everybody had to take their kind of camping chairs and everything they needed for the day. And then apparently you get your kind of spot and then people sort of stay there all day, really, watching the acts. And Jane and I got chatting to these great people. I mean, they were lovely, smashing people, were having a great time, and said, we're taking a picnic and we're taking, you know, we thought we'd do that. They said, well, you're taking a picnic. You won't be allowed to take a picnic. Don't be ridiculous. You've got to go. You've got to be frisked. You'll all be frisked for booze. And I mean, you know, we planned hummus and crisps and...
They're not going to take your food off you. They're only going to take booze off you, I think.
Both.
No.
Yes. So basically, because we thought we'd already gone through that, but no, apparently this is a sort of second thing when they open up the big stadium. So they were all saying, oh, no, you know, we bought all this stuff. One woman had got a bag from Aldi, right, get this, that they sell specially. Got false innards and a little tap on the bottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So obviously they empty a load of wine in like that. And then there were two teachers, hilarious, with kind of frilly leg warmers that they'd bought specially. And they'd got kind of, you know, these specially bought like pouches to put the gin in.
Yeah, the pouches, you know, in the leggings. Because they don't rattle, you see. So they stuff the knickers with pouches of booze.
Exactly, and bras.
That's teachers
all
for
down,
you, see.
Yeah, all that. So they've got all this going on. I mean, we were so the newbies, so hopelessly.
Well, what
kind
did you do
of...
with your picnic, Judith? Did you have to eat it before you went in?
Yeah, I went in. Yeah, it was a real blow, that. Well, you could imagine. I was really
pissed
absolutely, off about that.
Never
mind about the
and
wine.
And then did you have to sort of eat again? Did you sort of, was it all burgers and stuff? Did you then have to go to a stall?
No, they had some decent food. They did. They did have some decent food. That was quite nice. And the acts were a bit mixed. But do you know what they got right? They did get this right. They had, because they had, you know, Billy Ocean and Mark Almond and Jimmy Savile and Bananarama, all those people. But instead,
was Bananarama on? I love Bananarama.
Yes, they were. They were. And wait.
But are there any two bananas now? Of
no,
Bananarama.
I think there
were there
four.
Three? Were there all three? Because one went off and did Shakespeare's sister. And because there was Karen and Siobhan, who were sort of best friends. And then the other one with the short, blunt crop. Not crop, the bob sort of thing.
Yeah.
And she did Shakespeare's sister, which I loved Shakespeare's sister.
You know more about them than I do.
Well, I didn't think that they all were back together as a threesome. I'm going to have to Google that, Judith.
They might have an extra one.
Yes, they might have one.
It was like the Wurzels. There was one original Wurzels and the rest ones were addition. I don't know.
It's like the stylistics.
They just changed the four tops.
They're about 84 four tops.
Yes, I know. But what was clever is that they didn't sort of subject you to a load of stuff that you didn't know. So basically they were...
Greatest hits.
Yeah, so they were on and off, you know, half an hour, then there'd be another one, you know, they do two or three big numbers and then off they go. So that was clever. That was really clever, actually.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing was that we both discovered a silent disco. Have you ever been to a silent disco?
No. No, I haven't, but I know
no,
of
you'd
them.
Hate it.
No, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it, but it'd be, you know, I know what goes on. I can imagine it. I've imagined it. I don't need to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's a bit like climbing a mountain. I know what it'd be like. Yes. I've got a good imagination. Yeah. I've done it. Don't ask me to do it in real life. Yeah. Thanks very much. Great. Yeah. I'm moving on. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that's how I feel about festivals now.
So can we draw a line under festivals, Judy?
Well, there's one more thing I need.
Go on.
There's a but, which is I do need to get off my chest the loo situation. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So do you remember I said that we paid extra to go to the posh loo? Blah blah blah.
Pink Moon campsite.
Yeah. So just
flushes. We're expecting flushes.
Well, and plenty of them. Okay, so picture this. A bit of the bucket, all right, the bucket of shame walk had to happen. You know, it wasn't the only one with the bucket, you know, walking along 7:30 in the morning.
What, with hot piss sloshing?
Exactly. Some clever people had got lids. I didn't got a lid. Yeah. I draped a kind of...
You could have put some cling film over it.
God,
yeah, that's
miserable.
What you need to see.
So there
you know the cling film I had to put over my eyes? You could have borrowed a ream of cling film to put over your hot piss.
I could. As long as I remembered to take it off when I was tipping it out, which would I foresee a bit of problem. Anyway, so there you are, the walk of shame, hoping that nobody's going to look at you. Hope it's going to be really quiet, you know, half past 7 in the morning. Turn the corner round. I thought, shit, that's the loo queue. The loo queue. Was, I promise you, 20 minutes. There were people in that, and that is just so awful. First time you need the loo in the morning.
And your bowels are groaning.
Oh, the bowels, you can hear them creaking. Yeah, exactly. Do you know,
It's coming.
There were people in that queue that we were having to let through. We were literally saying,
really?
I am not going to make this. That's just not acceptable, is it? So yes, there we go. I've downloaded and I'm drawing a line as we're speaking. Jenny, I've got my biro out and I am drawing
I'm crossing festivals off. I'm just crossing them off the list.
They've gone.
There's no more. I wrote a great line from stand up last week in my dressing room.
Oh yeah.
Which is about, you know, the sort of not being able to sleep through the night because of the bladder. And I said, what you really need to be able to do is take your bladder out before you go to bed, leave it on the draining board to drip into the sink overnight. That's what we need to be able to do.
A
ridiculous organ.
That's a very good line.
Absolutely ridiculous organ.
Isn't it?
Oh, well, I'm glad you survived.
Yeah. Anyway, what's your news? I've been banging on about the festival.
I've got no news. I have no life whatsoever at the moment because what has happened to me is that... The new normal has gone back to the old normal, which I'm kind of struggling with quite badly. And I'm not sure how much of normal I can really cope with because I sort of went into... I mean, I think we've discussed this vaguely, but, you know, like last year, we all went into neutral. We kind of cruised in neutral for a very long time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm being expected to click a switch and be back on. I'm on. I'm, you know, go, yeah. get everything, have everything sorted. You know, the new show has got to be done. It's got to be everything. And I am not indecisive, but I'm just a bit slow. I mean, the tryouts have been really coming along, and I'm, well, thank goodness, because I start the tour next week. But I'm still very anxious. Yeah, still anxious. I haven't had time. I mean, this morning I just ordered a load of new makeup. And I need a new makeup bag. I haven't thought about what I'm going to wear on stage.
Haven't you?
No, I haven't.
The first thing I thought about.
Well, I think material is kind of... Well, I mean, it's fine sort of going on stage and looking wonderful and then opening mouth going, oh, I know what I forgot to do now. I forgot to write this show because I just went shopping instead. But don't I look nice? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at me for 45 minutes, then we'll have an interval, and then I'll change. Yes. And you can look at me for another half an hour.
Yeah.
So, no, it's... And I haven't been physically shopping. I don't know whether I've lost the will, the knack, the
both probably. The urge. We all have. So wait a minute, tell me what are the options then, outfit-wise?
Well, I don't really... I mean, all I've done... I mean, this is so lazy of me, Judith. I mean, it really is. And I mean, I think you'll understand because it's what you did halfway through Ellen's engagement party, you know, when you just thought, fuck it, not wearing this... This dress that I've dropped chili oil down. I'm going to get into my dungarees. And I've just, I have worn my workman dungarees, my black linen, white stuff dungarees with a t-shirt for the tryouts.
For the tryouts, right.
For the tryouts. And you know, that sort of seems kind of practical and sort of workmanlike and you know, rolling
literally. Literally.
Yeah,
really,
yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. But I think I can't say that I'm keen to swap into anything else particularly.
No, but I mean, surely, now this is interesting because I don't, you know, how do you choose what do you wear on stage? Because it's kind of showtime, isn't it? It's showtime.
It is showtime. But this show is also quite a lot about, you know, the past year and how it's been and that kind of thing. So it's not quite so showtime as it would have been sort of in the past in some respects.
So it's not sparkly shoes, which I know you have done in the past.
Well, but the sparkly shoes are very, very old. So they're kind of, you know, knackered sparkly shoes. They're in the trial. I don't know, Judith, I'm just not there yet. I'm going to have to get everything out at the weekend. And I've sent off
a fine. It's cutting it a bit fine.
I know, but
Jenny,
you know that kimono I wore at Latitude? That's
I loved
option.
That. Oh, the gang liked that.
Yes.
The gang
and
liked
I've
that
bought
a lot.
Another one, but it's a shorty one. I don't know whether I told... Did I tell you this last week? I don't want
no,
to
No, you
eat.
Didn't. No, no,
okay,
no.
Okay, well, I bought one, an orange one with cranes on. And when I say cranes... I mean the birds, not the things that put buildings up. You know, sort of. Let's not get that confused.
Not Bob the Builder. It's not a Bob the Builder
one. Oh well, there's a look. So yeah, I'm sort of. I'm debating all that.
Hold a minute. What do you wear with the short kimono then? Do you
wear
black trousers?
Well, I'd have to wear it over sort of some. I could wear it over the dungarees. I could wear it over some any coloured trousers. I could wear it, you know, white shirt.
Well, it's very lovely. I mean, I can imagine that's very lovely. So and what else is in the frame? What else is in the running?
Well, I've got the tunic that fell out of the bottom of the wardrobe about 3 weeks ago, just before I went on that cruise, which I did wear on stage.
Yes.
The Marimekko that I'd completely forgotten about, which cost a couple of hundred quid. But it's a creaser, Judith. It's a creaser.
Oh, is it? Is it a bit tight as well? Is it a bit
tight? Oh, no, it's not tight because it's a tunic.
Okay.
Why do you keep saying that? No, it's
not tight.
Because
you had it for ages. So everything I've had for ages is really tight.
I'm sorry, but it isn't. It's still quite baggy.
Fine. Good.
Because it's quite a generous sized tunic. Mm.
But if it's a creaser, that sounds like it's
a creaser, but I'm not sure whether it'll crease when I'm on stage or whether it's just one of those, I don't know. So
well, can't
that...
you vary it? I mean, do you actually
I could
have
actually vary it. I've got some quite sort of statement blouses that I can wear with trousers and all that kind of thing.
Okay.
And in actual fact, because let's face it, I mean, I never used to. I used to wear the same things and get really sort of hung up on the luck.
Well, because I suppose last
I want
time...
someone to send me something, Judith. That's what I want. I want something to say. I want someone to... There are too many decisions with this show. There are too many... I've got too much on my plate. I've got so much responsibility with the show, so much. I have had to make decisions, things that you know, when you're doing a big show normally, like one of the grumpy shows, and you have a director and you go in a rehearsal room, and then there's a costume lady and all those sort of things.
Yeah,
people sort of measure around your hip and you say, oh, I don't think you've got that right. because, you know, they run out of tape and they have to. Anyway, it's
been, and you're doing it all yourself. It's basically it's a one-woman show, isn't it? So it has become
a total one-woman show. And last week I was driving to the gigs as well.
Oh, that's tough, Jenny.
And it just seemed last week that I was so full on back into the work thing that and it was kind of half great. And I was really proud of myself with my driving. And I do love my little mini Clubman. I genuinely think that this is the best thing I've done this year by that car.
Yeah.
And I had two articles to write for a magazine and newspaper. And then I did Sunday Brunch.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have had a very busy week, Jenny.
Yeah, and that is 3 hours long. You're in studio for three
really?
Hours. I mean, they feed you. Yeah. I mean, they're very generous. It's very nice and all that sort of thing. But honestly, when I got home on Sunday, I felt like I'd got off the longest flight I've ever been on.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but yeah, I can imagine.
And I could not stay upright. I just lounged in and out of bed for the rest
of
the
day. You were so knackered.
And I'm the same today. I'm not dressed. I've got my face on. But I'm absolutely, I feel run over. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And did you feel like that after the camping or not?
Oh, yes, I do. I think increasingly I do. And I think I remember somebody saying to me, lots of people will have said it, won't they? As you get older, you can't do all the things in the day that you used to. And I think increasingly what happens is if I have an incredibly busy day, the next day it does sort of hit me.
And I went to see a play. Oh, I had the best time yesterday morning because it has been a difficult week with, you know, Jeff's got this terrible back issue that has just came out of nowhere and is excruciating. And he really, you know, there's no sleep and all this kind of thing, which means I'm not sleeping. But I don't complain because, you know, I'm a martyr. And but yesterday morning, I went by myself to see Phoebe's children's play.
Oh, did you?
Oh, God, Judith, you'd have loved it. You'd have really loved it. There is nothing better than sitting in a space. It's a pop-up theatre tent. And it's on this little green patch of grass in a bit of Brixton that I didn't really know. It's called Slade Gardens. And it's, you know, there's some swings and some slides. And then, you know, the kids come in and it's just joyful being in. It wasn't full, but which was great, in fact, because it meant I had sort of loads of space and it felt very, very COVID safe.
Yeah.
But just being in the company of sort of primary age school children, watching a play.
Were they captivated?
Oh, my God. It was just... Really? And there's a bit, it's about a showy off girl called Charlie who can't stop talking. She just doesn't stop talking. She wants to be class president. She doesn't stop talking. And everyone's getting fed up with her. So one day she sort of says, right, I'm never going to speak again. And it's like a wish. And she loses her voice.
Really?
And she has to go and find her voice. And she goes on this adventure through a zoo. It's quite clever. And they did it so well. This production company, Payne's Plough, that do touring theatre. There was some projection on the ceiling and the children were just getting stuff. And when they were getting stuff, they were so excited. And there was a song about chips and they were just really, it was a proper South London venue as well. So, you know, these were sort of kids that were quite prepared to join in or if they were bored. And there was a bit where basically the little girl just wanted her mummy at one point.
Oh, fuck me, I cried. I bet you could, yeah.
I cried yeah, I was absolutely... And there was another mother across the tent and I just saw her. You know that when you flap your eyes because you're about to cry? And she was like flapping her eyes.
Jenny,
the biggest lump
well
in my throat.
It was just
glorious. I think sometimes, you know, we forget what it's like to be with small children and how magical they can be, especially when we don't have to have them wiggling on our lap.
Yes, yeah, and they're captivated.
I mean, that's
so lovely, isn't it? But also, what a lovely message to find, you know, to find your voice, something which is about finding your voice, literally finding your voice, I guess.
And also listening to other people, so not just sort of talking over people and all this sort of thing. So So it was a bit, you know, it had messages and all that. But I was really, really proud of her in some respects. I think it's kind of the best thing she's done. But I really loved it. But I've been really busy, Judith.
That is a bugger.
Are you going on holiday next week?
The week after next, I think. Yes, I am. I'm ashamed to say. I mean, I this is another postponed holiday. It's the only time that, obviously, it's the only time we've been abroad. I'm going cycling in Croatia, where you sail and cycle. We're on a boat and we cycle around different islands. And whilst I'm quite excited about it, I'm also a bit scared. And honestly, the truth is that if somebody said, look, it's all off, I would probably just think, phew.
Have you been to Croatia?
Yes, but a long time ago. Had my first orgasm in Croatia.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. How come? Mm-hmm. What were you sitting on? How old were you?
I was 18, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you mean with somebody else?
Yes, well, yes. Well,
oh,
yes.
My goodness. Well, yes. Oh, I see, because yes. I always think of you know, first orgasms being, you know, DIY jobs, really.
Well, not quite. In your case, the banisters. The banisters.
Oh, God, from the age of 12, yeah. I mean, that was barely off the banister rail.
For anybody who didn't sort of listen to this podcast very on to hear about your banister.
How I found my clitoris, climbing up the banister rail. And from then on, I've always had an eye on a banister rail. It's the first thing I eye up when I go to a stately home. I think, that's a bit wide, too much girth. That might chafe a bit. But, you know, there's an ideal gauge of banister rail, which, you know, I still... And in my house now, because it's a modern house, and I don't have a banister rail like the old Georgian house.
No, you don't at all, do you?
No, and I still miss it. So, a first orgasm with a bloke in Croatia on a holiday.
Well, yes, I know. It wasn't sort of without its kind of mechanical, do you know what I mean? Without getting too loose.
Oh, are you saying that you had to give it a little bit of a helping hand?
Yes, I did. Yeah, once I realised that.
That you could do that.
Yes, exactly.
There was space to do that.
Exactly. And you were allowed to do that. It was all right then.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it is a bit of a struggle, isn't it, if we're honest?
It can be. It definitely can be. Yeah, you just have to enjoy it for the other sort of sensation rather than the clitoral sensation
sometimes.
It's a good job we've got memories, isn't it?
It is,
good
absolutely.
Job we've got memories. So no, yes. I've been to Croatia and I think it's really nice, but I wouldn't like to cycle around it because it's quite hilly. Are you on e-bikes?
Oh, e-bikes, of course. Okay. I'm on an e-bike. I'm not a complete idiot.
You. I'm not fussed about you, but I wouldn't like sleeping on a boat, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I know.
A bit
somebody
pokey,
told me it was a bit
pokey.
Stormy. Somebody I know is into sailing.
It is
a bit stormy, but anyway.
No, Judith, it won't be. It'll be absolutely like a milk pond. Don't you worry about that.
I hope so.
So, Judith Holder, we are going now to Culture Corner.
Yes, yeah, so what, have you had time? Have you even had time?
I have had time for only one thing, and the one thing has been Love Island, and now that it has finished...
Has it finished? Right.
It went on for, I think it was 2 months. And I watched every single episode
bar
three.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Yeah, and they were on more or less nightly bar Saturday night. So I did very well. I took it terribly seriously. I mean, it's the kind of thing that I could almost do a mastermind on.
there's an idea.
Yeah, yeah. And A Million Liam won, which was right and as it should have been and proper and true. She is a... beautiful, beautiful woman. I'm not sure I'd completely trust him. He's just very lucky that he's very good looking. I voted for Faye and Teddy because I think you side with the couple you most identify with.
Oh, yes,
and
I bet
Faye
you do.
Is a fucked up, furious swearing girl and Teddy is good and patient. So I thought, well, I recognise that.
Do they win something?
They win £50,000, love.
Bloody hell, that's a big prize.
Yes, yes, yes. But the couple wins it, so, you know, are they going to share it?
Interesting.
Because what happens is the couple wins, and then one of them chooses an envelope, and one of the envelopes has got all the money in, and the other envelope has got no money in.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's
the Jeopardy. So one could keep it.
Yeah, yeah. But Millie got, she chose the right envelope. because she chose the one with the red heart on it because she believed in love, you see. And I'm sorry, there'll be people rolling their eyeballs so hard at this.
Oh, no, I'm a bit interested in this. I'm surprisingly interested. So did she immediately say, oh, Liam, it's okay, you're going to have half, don't you worry?
It would have been hilarious, and she'd have gone even further up in my estimation if she just snatched the whole lot and gone, you think that you're going to get your mitts on this. I remember what you did in Casa Amor, you jerk. So interesting. I really did enjoy it, and I'm trying now very hard to get into something else. I've tried White Lotus,
What's that about?
It's a very dark comedy drama about a group of overly privileged, wealthy guests who land on an island.
Oh, of course, I know what you mean.
Things are going
to
go horribly wrong, etc.
It's a bit slow at the beginning, apparently.
Well, yes, that's what I think. And I couldn't watch Your Honour because I found the opening scenes to it too upsetting.
I know, you have to just get over that. But you must carry on with it. We've just finished it. It just gets better and better and more gripping. Okay, I urge you.
Jeff couldn't watch it either. We got genuinely too upset in the first
you've got to carry on. You've really got to carry on.
Okay, can I ask you one thing, though?
Yes,
do one of those boys die?
Well, do one of those boys die? Which boys? Well, obviously the boy in the accident.
Well, it starts with the crash.
Well, obviously the boy dies with the accident. He dies at the roadside, yes.
Yeah, the one on the motorbike.
Yes, he dies, yeah. Okay. Only you've just got to get further. I mean, it's a rather ghoulishly gory.
I found the beginning a bit...
Because it's a boy that dies on the roadside, absolutely. Yeah. And the other boy is so sensitive, and I'm not going to tell you what happens to him. No, but all I'm saying is that you've got to get over that scene and carry on. It is one of the best things that we've ever seen.
Okay, right.
Very, very good. I've been watching, well, I saw the first one of Changing Rooms with Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, who I adore.
Well, I was on Sunday brunch with him.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. He's very funny. He's sort of self-confessed awful as well. He's such a snob. Yes. An appalling snob. And he's there wearing the most ridiculous suit and tie.
Leather?
Not leather, but kind of sort of, bondage highwayman kind of look going on a bit,
You've got to hand it to him, haven't you?
You're 57, darling, you're still wearing Cuban heels.
But love him.
But hair is extraordinary. He's got
boofy.
Great hair,
boofy.
And lovely bits of grey in it now.
No, it's good. I mean, Changing Rooms is sort of as it always was, really. I mean, I don't think it's quite as good as that wonderful series that we were both hooked on, the kind of designer of the year. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it's got the same kind of finesse or flair.
No, it hasn't.
Or thought.
No, very much so.
It's too quick. It's sort of, with the design show that we like with Alan Carr.
Contestants' ones.
No, that's people who are taking their job seriously, who really want to do it.
This is a romp. It's a romp. Yeah.
But it's panto.
It's panto. You're right, it's panto. Yeah. And then I also saw something on Channel 4 called I Am Maria with Leslie Manville, who plays this sort of a discontent 60-year-old. Literally, it's her 60th birthday. Be interested to know what the gang thought of it, really, and what you thought of it. It was
beautifully
acted.
Does she have sex in it?
She does. And I think the only thing is, I would say, it starts off when it's her birthday and she wants sort of rampant sex kind of on the draining board-ish. And her husband doesn't. And that sort of starts it off. And
Left her bladder on the draining board. Maybe he doesn't want to sort of, squash it.
Yeah, and I did like it, and she had some great sort of lines. I don't think it was scripted. I think it was kind of workshopped.
Okay. She did one of my little lifetimes. She did it in record time. Yeah, she basically read it through once, and then recorded it, and she was done. She was done within sort of 45 minutes. It was extraordinary.
She's a great actress.
Yeah,
It's worth watching, but perhaps it was too much about sex. I thought. But anyway,
I've got a chunk in the new show about because it's just interesting me that they always the 60th birthday, and women wanting to have sex. There was that series The Gold Digger as well. I do this whole thing about The Gold Digger on stage about the younger skint bloke getting off with the older wealthy woman. They meet in a museum. So basically, a museum. If you're rich, single, and want to shag, head for the museum. And if you don't manage to pull, you can always go to the gift shop and get a couple of tea towels and a a nice fridge magnet, you know, silver linings. There's me. I'll go, right, that's enough for me. I've come. Anyway, there we go. Books, Judith, books.
I'm reading The Castaways, which I think you download. Yes, but I don't know whether it's your thing. It's not. It's intriguing and it's very plotty, but I don't think it's terribly well written, really. So I'm not sure, because you said you were going to download it. I'm not sure whether you'll like it.
No, I think that it might be a good distraction, a good easy
could be.
Read.
It could be.
I've got a very tricky book at the moment, and I sort of really admire it, but it unnerves me, and it's called Ghosted by Jen Ashworth. And yeah. I'm listening to it on Audible, and it's a very different voice because it is stripped of all smugness and middle classness. It is not a middle class book. She's a cleaner in a university, and it sounds to me like Lancaster University. And her husband has disappeared from their high-rise flat. It's about her dementia-suffering father, his Eastern European help. It's dark. It's properly dark. And there are big question marks over what has happened to this man and suggestions of something even darker from the couple's past. It's not a cheery read, but it is a very well-written one. It's been very well-reviewed. Mm. That's taking me a long time because it makes me anxious. It makes my heart kind of palpitate a little bit. So I can only do it in small snatches. Jeff and I have just finished another Agatha. There are 65 Agathas, and I think we might be on number 40.
Bloody hell. God, amazing. That's your other special subject for a mastermind, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, dear. That's our culture corner rounded up for you, Judith. Anything on the emails? Anything caught your eye email-wise?
Emails, we've had some lovely messages, as usual, from the gang. We could do with some more problems, actually, if I'm honest. So maybe we're just not very good at solving the problems.
Yeah, but they don't trust us.
No, they don't. They're probably right. But anyway, so we want some new emails, please. Don't forget to tell us how old you are.
What is our email address for anybody that wants to send us emails this week?
It's olderwiderpod@gmail.com. Yeah?
Are we pretending that Daisy didn't have to stop the record? when you gave the wrong address and give us the right address. Oh, I'm going to suggest you do something, Judith. I'm going to suggest you write that on a sticky.
Yeah, on the computer.
And you stick it to your computer.
I know.
Do that as well. Go on.
So we want some more emails, please, from the gang. But just before we go, there was one lovely, it was a very interesting email a couple of weeks ago that we didn't get around to talk about. And it was a gripe, right? It was a gripe, if you remember. And it was from somebody.
It was directed at you. I was kind of off the hook on this one.
It was. It was a gripe. She is 54 and 2 months old. Okay. So she loves the podcast, but she's got a bit of a gripe. And she says, I hate it when you berate yourselves or each other for your size. And yes, and she says, I'm looking at you, Judith.
Yeah.
And yes, I know what she means. I know what she means. And I think it is, it doesn't get us anywhere, does it? And
no,
it
gets us nowhere. I mean, we all do it, but it's really boring. It's really, really boring.
It is.
So we will endeavour
to
keep this as sort of...
To readdress it. But did you see that the photographs that she sent of the amazing art that she's doing? So she's doing an art degree, and it's based on the invisibility of the older woman and reclaiming our power. And she sent those two amazing pictures of sort of, I don't know how you would describe, a vivid, kind
they're really
of powerful
vivid. They're, yeah,
women.
Yeah, wonderful sort of depictions of older women.
I loved them.
Kind of, but still in their prime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't know whether it's possible for us to, are we allowed to put those pictures on the Instagram? Because I do think people would like them.
Permission,
you need to email us, please, and tell us whether we're allowed to put them on the notice board. So that's it, really, isn't it?
Yes. Tell me what you're going to do for the rest of the day.
Got to go to the vets with Poppy.
Oh, no, what's wrong with Poppy?
Well, she's still scratching, really. I think she might have some more of these bloody seeds that kick, you know, which are a great thing for spaniels, apparently. They get, you know, they get sort of buried in their skin. So she's doing a bit of scratching, and also she's got...
Judith, I'm just going to just stop you now because we have both of us a history of hypochondria and slight Munchausens with our children. Is it Munchausens? You know, the one where we're sort of terrified of being ill. Do you think you've transferred?
I might.
You could be. I'm just going to say that Poppy's probably fine. But that you're transferring an anxiety from one thing that maybe you're not prepared to sort of own up to and putting it onto the dog.
Yes, you could do that. Right. On the other hand, she might have a bit of an itchy problem with a bit of grass. Yes, she could. But yes.
I'm there's doing that. That too. There's are that you, too.
Are you okay. choosing your outfit later? What are you doing? Are you resting? Maybe you're just chilling. Maybe you put your feet up.
I'm rocking backwards and forwards. And I'm going to open my... my document with the stand-up on in a minute, and I'm going to sort of tackle the bit that I've got in the second part of the show about Nunhead Cemetery and see whether I can make it funnier than it is at the moment.
I bet you do. I bet you
that's
do.
That's my task.
And are you going to have some coleslaw at the end of it when you've done that? Have you got some coleslaw?
I have got
in
some
the fridge?
Coleslaw in the fridge.
Good.
There is.
Good.
There is.
Few.
Yes.
Few. Life is good. All right. Well, look.
Life is all right.
Yes.
it will get easier. It will get easier. It's just... particularly, and I think that it's hard for us at the moment, putting our chins up and dealing with this stage of the pandemic where we're all meant to get on with it, and we understand that. But in the background, there is this rumble of thunder all the time, which is a sort of knell of anxiety.
Yes. Yeah.
And
very
it's
well
not put. Just COVID. I think that, you know, you have to be incredibly insensitive if the rest of the news isn't having some kind of effect on your psyche, because sometimes when I'm driving to a gig last week, I just wanted to pull over, and just Afghanistan just makes you want to sob, doesn't it?
I know,
poor women and those poor young women and the desperate situation they're in, and you know, so we'll stop moaning, we'll stop going on about how fat we are, and we'll just sort of
get it into perspective a bit. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
So that's our thought for the day. That's our thought for the day, Judith. We're just going to be a little bit more grateful. We will be speaking next week, won't we? I've got it in my diary. We've got a pod
next
week.
Indeed. And good luck with the tour. Which day do you start?
I start the day after we do the record.
The first
so I'm
day
on, I start
on Thursday
the 2nd in Leicester. Followed by Lincoln, followed by Leeds, followed by Cambridge.
All the L's, and then a K.
Cambridge.
Then,
well, not K for Cambridge. Oh, my God.
Oh, Judith. I thought you said Kendall.
No, Cambridge. You got bored halfway through. Stop listening. All right, then, everybody. Okay. We will
speak
next week. Have a great weekend and take care of yourselves.
Toodle-pip.
Bye.